Welcome to Energy Matters, exploring awakening to your authentic self and finding purpose through mind, body, and soul. With your hosts, Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com.
Hey, Cody, are you awake?
Barely.
All right, here we are for our episode on sleep. I woke Cody up in the middle of the night just to talk about sleep. Actually, it's 6:15 Pacific time, but he goes to bed early on occasion. Hey guys,
and David stays up all night.
Yep,
on occasion.
Hey guys, welcome to Energy Matters. Episode number 20. Wow, we're already at episode 20. That's pretty amazing. Even though we were originally planning on doing more episodes, I think we're coming up on a year soon, and we would have hoped to have done like 40, but we've been busy. But here we are. And we finally got to an episode on sleep. We got enough sleep where we could do an episode on sleep. And I want to start today by mentioning that I was in Trader Joe's today, Cody. And the cashier said, "Hey, I met you before. You have a podcast." And I was like, "Yeah, Energy Matters." And she goes, "Oh, wow. I listened to episode number 3 with Lynn Manning on loving yourself. It was really good." And then the other cashier goes, "Oh, I want to listen to that." And like this whole wave of interest in Trader Joe's broke out about Energy Matters and listening to our podcast. And I was like, "Yeah, thank you. How cool is
that?" That's very cool.
Pretty neat. And as always, every episode is brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com. And pre-announcement of an announcement we're going to make one day in the future. We haven't announced the date yet, but Cody and I are going to be teaching a class over the phone, probably a 4-week series on intuitive development, followed by a longer training course. So if you're interested and want to come to class and learn from us, you can put yourself on the Energy Matters newsletter at energymatterspodcast.com. How come I always have to do all the marketing, Cody?
I don't know. It just ends up working out that way, I think.
Yeah. I guess.
And aren't we giving away some free meditations if you sign up for our email newsletter?
Yeah, we're about to launch that this week, actually. I have a meeting with the guy who's going to help me this evening. So
sweet.
That is on its way. Yeah. So sleep. Got any? Get any? Need some? How is it?
Getting enough?
Getting enough? Bags under your eyes? Is meditation and sleep the same thing for you? I know for me, I don't as much anymore, but when I started meditating, I would fall asleep very often during meditation. I would just clonk out. I think a lot of people go through that. What do you think that's about, Cody?
Yeah, that's very easy to do. I think there's a couple of different reasons why that can happen. One of them is when we start to meditate and start to raise our vibration, oftentimes we just go to that place where we end up going when we sleep, right? And so if I kind of leave and go into that energy and that space where I access when I sleep, it's very easy to just fall into that state. And the other thing I've noticed over the years is if I really get into a deep meditation and I let my breathing gets, you know, slower and slower, suddenly I'll start to nod off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you find, David, when you meditate?
You know, I always tell my students that normally we close our eyes to go to sleep, but in meditation, we close our eyes to wake up. But the body doesn't know that. The body is used to going to sleep when you close your eyes. So it does take a certain amount of training to start recognizing, creating a pattern in your body that when I close my eyes and I'm sitting up, it's to wake up more, not to go to sleep. So there is kind of a learning arc when it comes to that. And the second reason is a much deeper one and I think is harder to explain, but no less valid, which is that when we go into meditation, we often are exploring or bringing things up and out of our unconscious. But sometimes we go into our unconscious to find those things. And in the process, we go unconscious. Mm-hmm. So it's like walking into a dark room, forgetting why you walked in. And then next thing you know, you're out cold. And there's a reason we're unconscious of things, of patterns, of pain, of past experiences. Sometimes they're shrouded in pain, right? Some memories. And so when we go to touch them, we go unconscious because that's where we put them to keep them safe or to keep ourselves safe from them. So on the deeper end of the spectrum, meditation is about becoming conscious of what you're unconscious of. And that's why I think they call it enlightenment, because you're bringing a light, you're shining a light, you're turning the light on in all those places in you that are dark. So if you do, I would say this to anybody who meditates and has this issue, if you do fall asleep during meditation like I did for years, my teachers would literally throw stuffed animals at my head to wake me up. There might be something going on there that you're trying to get aware of. So keep going, keep meditating, sit up straighter, keep waking up. You eventually will.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've had to address with people over the years in working with them in meditating and working energy, is just because you go, we call it go unconscious rather than go asleep or fall asleep, but just because you go unconscious is not cause to stop. In fact, that means right. that you're digging into something that has a charge on it, that has a really big energy on it, and persistence and consistency with meditation really is the key. And yeah, you do have to retrain the body a little bit to get used to sitting there doing nothing and staying awake.
Yeah. And if you're well rested, it's midday and you're still falling asleep, then you know something is up.
Right.
You know, it's understandable if it's late in the evening, your body is tired, but test yourself. You know, you might find you fall asleep no matter what time of day or night that you meditate.
Yeah. And you know, you can meditate in any position, but one of the reasons we tend to encourage people to meditate sitting upright is you tend to fall asleep less. If you're lying down and you try to meditate, especially if you're lying in your bed where you sleep, it can be pretty hard to stay awake.
Yeah, definitely. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you can start to use meditation to go to sleep, right? So It's okay to be meditating in bed before you fall asleep. And, you know, I learned this from Eckhart Tolle, one of my favorite meditation teachers, that you want to go to sleep consciously. So normally we try to kind of like knock ourselves unconscious in one way or another to go to sleep. We watch TV or we read, which is good. But we almost try to knock ourselves unconscious versus trying to just lay there and be conscious until we fall asleep. You know, there is that fear that if we do that, we'll just never sleep because we'll keep thinking about things. But that's different than actually being conscious and meditating and then kind of crossing that threshold into unconsciousness consciously. And I think that's kind of a microcosm or like practice for like, this might be a little much, but like, staying conscious when you die, right? Mm-hmm. It's like every night you kind of die, you go, you disappear, and then you kind of reincarnate in the morning. And so it's almost like a practice of dying, going unconscious, and then waking up again. And then hopefully the more you do that, you start waking up in your dream space too. So I'm definitely not an expert on like how much melatonin you need for sleep or what time of day or what time you should go to sleep or how many hours you need. I've read lots of articles on it and studied a bit, but I think my expertise and yours is a little bit more like what we do in our dream space, where we go, how we explore, all of those things that happen within the sleep time, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not an expert in sleep in terms of the clinical aspect of it. I know we need it. I know it's helpful.
Although we did, before we go into the deep end of the dream stuff, which I'm sure everybody wants to hear about, we there is a great article written by Parsley Health. I don't know if Dr. Robin Berzin, one of our past guests, wrote it herself, but there's like a downloadable article there if you put your email in on sleep. And I'll put it in the show notes on the link because I thought it was a really good article and it's been really helpful for me. And she does talk about things like how much melatonin you need to take. For example, she says that too many people take too much and you really only need like 1 to 3. I think it's grams. I should look that up.
Probably milligrams.
Milligrams, I mean. Grams. Yeah. Grams. That was something in college. Anyway. Yeah. But, you know, like I started when I do travel and I'm changing time zones, I might take some. And I found taking half of one was much better than taking a full one because it knocked me out so hard and my dreams would get crazy. And so sometimes we just need a little bit less. And she says that if it still doesn't help, then it's something else affecting your sleep, not your melatonin levels. Mm. So I thought that was useful. And the other piece I found useful was that the body does not regenerate, or the brain, you don't get as much rest at all times of night or morning sleeping. It's not all equal, even if you get 8 hours. So like between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., apparently studies show that you get the deepest rest, which is actually what I learned in yoga class years ago in the Himalayas. Do you find that when you go to bed by like 10 p.m. you get better rest than if you go to bed later, even with the same amount of hours sleep?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've found that over the years.
Yeah. I'll stop calling you after 10. My bad.
Yeah. Stop texting it. Midnight. Hey, what are you doing?
See this YouTube video, Cody?
Yeah.
While you're answering your texts while you're meditating.
Look at this cute cat video.
Do you have a ritual before sleep? Do you have a way that gets you to sleep? What is your thing each night?
Well, meditating before sleep is obviously very helpful. And so, you know, when I was saying you don't necessarily want to meditate lying down, that's not to say when you lie down to fall asleep, you don't want to make going to sleep a meditative process. It's just to say, I tend to meditate sitting up first, then lie down, and then kind of go into somewhat of a meditative or energy aware space while falling asleep. Mm-hmm. And exactly the goal of falling asleep is, at least from a energy awareness standpoint, or we could call it a spiritual standpoint, the goal has always been to fall asleep consciously, right? To move into that space consciously. And even in meditation, there are a number of practices that I teach and practice where you kind of put the body into a state where it's almost asleep, but you're conscious, like it's in a space of rest,
right?
While you're conscious and aware. And that's kind of a practice for how to then move into a level of sleep where you're more conscious as you go onto the astral, out into the planes where there's spirit and energy awareness, and have your dream or your sleep experience.
Do you ever teach classes on like the astral body and astral travel?
Oh yeah, I certainly have over the years taught a number of classes or workshop formats on getting in touch with or becoming aware of that part of yourself, and not only awakening to it, but then somewhat how to set the energy or how to kind of set your meditation and intention as you fall asleep to then be more aware on the astral. And
and
sometimes they call it lucid dreaming, but you know, it's kind of being awake in your dream state, basically.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people really love this topic and they tend to know kind of little about it and ask a lot of questions. And I taught a workshop on it some time ago, and there was just so much interest in it, in what is the astral body? Where are there levels of the dream time? How do you get lucid? How do you travel? How do you bring back wisdom and answers? Mm-hmm. Can you see things that are going to happen in the future through your dreams? You know, all those things. And actually, pretty wild story with you, Cody. I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast before, but before me and Cody were kind of good friends. You're my friend, right, Cody?
Right.
Before we were good friends, before we had a podcast, before we were teaching together, I knew you, but we didn't really text much. And one night, one morning, kind of early morning, I had this dream that this plane was crashing, and then it didn't crash, but it was crashing. And I woke up and I was like, man, I just got to text somebody about this. And so like, I kind of, you know, when you scroll through your phone, like, who do I text? So I just kind of like, no, that person doesn't want to hear from me. Nope. Cody doesn't know me well yet. So I texted Cody. I texted you. I was like, man, I just had this crazy dream about this plane crashing, but then not. And you were like, what did you say? What had just happened to you?
Oh, I was just on a plane and we were flying out of Colorado Springs, and we hadn't even reached full elevation and we lost cabin pressure, and the air, you know, the oxygen things came down.
Masks came down.
Yeah, the masks. And we had to turn around and go back. No, that was the first time it happened to me. It is a little unnerving.
Yeah. And it happened that morning when I texted you.
Right. And it just happened. I got the text when I landed and was changing out planes. Yeah.
that's crazy. But honestly, it's not that crazy, because for me, I mean, that's happened literally thousands of times to lesser and greater degrees. And I think when I teach and talk to people, like, they'll all admit that that's happened to them.
Right.
But they have no kind of context or structure or framework to put it in. So they never kind of develop it as a skill or take it further. They just, oh yeah, that happened, and it's a pretty amazing experience. But you can develop that as an ability, not just to like see things that will happen, but to make your dreams more meaningful. So I feel like there's certain layers or levels of the dream space that are, I guess I would say, more like body oriented, like lower level emotions, anxiety, you know, food, the kind of food you ate just rumbling into thought, and then kind of these upper planes of the dream time where you meet people you love, you learn something, you work something out emotionally or spiritually, you grow, you travel, you explore, you know? And most people, because they're so stressed out, they don't really get to those other levels or layers of the astral or of the dream time often. They don't get enough sleep. They don't know how to meditate into it. And so they miss out on this whole other life that's going on 8+ hours every night. It's almost like, in my opinion, giving away a third of your life because you don't know how to navigate it. You
know? Yeah, because it really is a space where you can get answers or kind of go into a place where you're learning and growing and furthering your own development, your own awareness. And that's kind of the hidden importance of sleep, I think. You know, it's easy to see what happens when we don't get enough sleep in the body and in our waking state. But how many times do we really stop and think about what happens in our sleeping state when we're not getting enough sleep? What are we missing out on? Right. And so we're missing out on a lot of processing and awakening and things that we end up bringing in that are helpful in our day. You know, how often have you kind of been confronted with a problem and all of a sudden you just kind of know the answer off the top of your head, and it almost feels like you've already kind of done some pre-processing? And you probably did while you were sleeping, right? You probably were already kind of looking at or processing some of those problems. And when you start to really become aware of using that time and space out of the body and then bringing it back in, it does start to change and impact how you move through your day.
Wild. So for me, and I know there's a great book, I think it's called Lucid Dreaming by Dr. Stephen LaBerge.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the pioneer of lucid dreaming, and he has some great techniques in that book. But I know personally for me, what works is to write down my dreams right when I wake up. And the more that you do that every single day, the more you're going to start recalling them. And also not to turn your body or move at all right when you wake up. So when you move after waking up, your consciousness shifts into the waking part of your brain. And so you start to lose those dreams very quickly. And a lot of us, we just kind of jump for our phones, or we just jump out of bed or turn. But if you want to remember your dreams, kind of stay very still for the first few minutes when you wake up, recall the dreams a little bit, then write them down, then go into the next thing you're going to do that day, so that it really has some time to integrate. Because it's kind of like we go up and out, and then we have to like come back down and in. And that's why when you see people in the morning, like at work, or if you wake up with them in the house and they look like they're just not there yet, and they're like, don't talk to me, I haven't had my coffee, which translates to, I'm not here yet. Half right. My being is still floating around the cosmos. I'm not back, you know. Don't talk to me, I haven't had my coffee. Like, oh my God, you need coffee to be alive and awake. I guess that always bothered me, because I don't really drink coffee that much, because when I have like a little sip, I'm like on the ceiling.
Right.
I don't do it. Cody, I've been with Cody. Cody, I've gone to Starbucks with you. This guy could drink a huge cup of coffee. It doesn't affect him at all. If I had that same cup of coffee, I'd be in cardiac arrest in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're very sensitive to coffee. It's kind of funny.
I am. Oh, the one other tip that I read in Parsley Health's blog that I really liked was, don't set an alarm for the morning, set an alarm for the evening. So if you want to be in bed by 9:30, maybe set an alarm for 7:30 or 8 p.m. And now it's time to like take a bath with Epsom salt, or read a book, and start to get off technology, because the light in our computers and phones, it stimulates something in our brains. I can't explain what it is. I don't remember. But it kind of puts us into more of a wakeful state and doesn't let us go to sleep. So I think most people know that by now, but the lights coming off the technology actually keeps us awake. So it takes time to wind down from that.
Yeah. And they even have settings where you can get rid of the blue light.
Yeah, that's right.
The technology, so it doesn't stimulate your brain or whatever it stimulates to make you think it's full daylight. Right. Yeah. No, I think setting the energy for the evening and for having a good night's rest is really important. And it is something that we do kind of overlook, and we tend to just go, 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 go until we collapse. We're like little puppies that just go, go, go until we just collapse and then have to sleep.
And, you know, honestly, for me, Cody, some of the most amazing kind of spiritual experiences that I've had, and growths and just insights, have come to me in my dreams. And some of us are dreamers and some of us are not, but I think even if you're not, you can develop that as a skill, just right. Like I wasn't a meditator and then I was, you know, you develop it as a skill set. So I wouldn't let that perturb you if you're not a dreamer yet, but I would say that most people can become good at dreaming and use that time wisely, you know, and start to get a deeper rest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fascinating things that I learned when I lived in India, so like in the Vedic Indian texts, they say that there's four like states of consciousness. And, you know, the first one is like this one, we're all listening to this podcast, waking state. And the second one would be the dream state when we're dreaming. And then the third one is the deep sleep state, which is kind of when you're not in the dream state, when you're like getting the deepest rest, you know? Mm-hmm. And that state, a lot of us don't reach too much because we're so stressed out. We're not resting deeply enough. We're not getting enough of that. And then the fourth, they call it like the fourth state. It's kind of like almost like being awake in deep sleep, which I find totally not understandable and fascinating. It's almost like a meditative state, right? Where you're meditating, maybe your body's even asleep in some sense, and you're awake. So that's kind of the four states that they would say in the Vedic texts. I like that. But we're almost out of time, Cody.
Yes, we are.
So I think a couple tips, just like take away for meditators from this episode when it comes to sleep. You know, you can find all that good stuff on like how to get to sleep and how to get good sleep from a gazillion blogs and writers and doctors. from the more spiritual end or the more energetic perspective, which is what this podcast is about. And I think what we teach, you know, the first thing for me is that if there's like stuck energy or something kind of, roiling me up, perturbing my energy from just like flowing naturally, I like to meditate on that before I go to bed. And a lot of people, they try to work that out in their dreams. Like they're upset and they just try to go to sleep. And then that, you know, that energy translates into sleep. Whereas I think it's great to start working that out while you're still awake and conscious. But so many of us are so tired that we just kind of override that and we try to go to sleep. So for me, one of the tips would be work your stuff out in the waking space as much as you can so you can go deeper in the sleep space.
Yeah, it seems like if you don't, then whatever energy you go into the sleep state with, you get caught in it. And that's when you have like, a night of sleep where you're tossing and turning and not going into a deep space with sleep. I think the other thing that can be very helpful once you meditate and kind of clear your space is getting kind of a clear intention for what you want in that sleep time. So whether that's bringing forth a question or just kind of visualizing what you want to get out of that time when you're asleep, that can be very helpful.
Yeah. So like setting an intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And
that's
setting the energy too, you know, and what that means, that's kind of like setting an intention, but setting the energy might more be a broader stroke. Like I want to have a restful night's sleep and feel that feeling, or I want to have a sense of peace while I sleep and feel that feeling and kind of visualize that or get a sense of that energy. Just like you might walk into a room and you feel the energy of it, you know, and you go, wow, this feels comfortable or uncomfortable. You can set the energy for while you're asleep to be calm or peaceful or nurturing or any number of things that's very helpful, I find.
Yeah. And if your body doesn't feel safe, you're not going to travel very far.
Right.
Because there is like in some spiritual literature, they say there's like this silver cord that connects our body to our, what you might call the astral body, the dream body. So it's kind of like tethered, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a spiritual umbilical cord to yourself. And if you don't feel safe, it's going to be really hard to go anywhere. You're going to be just sleeping in survival, you know?
Right.
And that idea, and I've heard you say this before while you've been teaching, but that idea that like this is the waking space, that's the dream space, maybe that's not completely true. You know, why is that space less real than this space? Maybe that space is also quite real.
Well, and the kind of irony, or maybe it's the joke in a lot of spiritual practice awareness, is that this is the dream state while we're awake. And the other state's really the real state of kind of coming back to our true nature, to who we really are. You know, the other thing that I found really helpful, a tip I heard, is it's kind of like a paradigm shift, or thinking about it a little bit differently. Usually we wake up in the morning and we think, okay, I'm starting my day and I've got to tackle my day. And I'm already kind of hitting the ground running, you know, and I'm kind of overwhelmed by my day pretty quickly very often. But if you really if you really think about it though, when you go to sleep at night, if you kind of reset that time of preparing to go to sleep and then going to sleep, as that's the start of your next day, that's what actually sets the tone for your next day. So you can really, like you're saying, process and wrap up the day that you just finished. And then you're going into your sleep space as the start of the creation of your next day. That little mental shift, or that way of looking at it differently like that, I found really changed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. And I think lastly, before we finish, what about when it comes to actually traveling through your dreams? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a little more of an interesting kind of thing to talk about, because it's hard to talk about, you know, in terms of how to have it make sense. I mean, it happens in that we get out of the physical form into an astral body, right? It's kind of a reflection of the physical body, but it's an energy body. And in that state, we really travel based on intention and attention, you know? So I have an intention to go somewhere, and then I kind of go where my attention goes. And it's something probably best explored or talked about in a meditation, where someone's actually kind of connecting with that part of themselves.
Well, then it sounds like we're going to do some sleep meditations for Energy Matters.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple. We'll each do a podcast sleep meditation for our audience, so you all can go to sleep listening to Cody and I. And hopefully not have nightmares. Yeah. And for me, I know we're out of time, we got to roll, but I've always been a dreamer, like a huge dreamer. I'll wake up from a novel sometimes, and so often it'll come true, or it'll just have so much meaning. And it's, I wish that I had more structure to it growing up. I wish someone had some pointers for me, like, hey, do it this way, try this, try this. And when I did start bringing it structure, it's hard to describe, but it like gave my life more meaning. It was like there's this meaning in dreams, and there's meaning in symbols in these experiences that we have. And then we also bring that awareness of meaning into our daily lives. So it feels like sometimes that we go throughout the day, we see somebody at work, we pass somebody on the street, and there's like no meaning in it, you know? But in a dream, when you pass someone on the street and maybe you catch eyes for a moment, and there's a feeling like you wake up and there's like a meaning to it. And if you can wake up to that in your dreams, you might start waking up to that in your daytime awake space as well. It's hard to describe, but there's a subtle shift that starts to happen. We think because we're awake during the day that we're awake, but really we're mostly still very much asleep. And we're just almost like trying to wake up. And I don't think it's almost like the whole day we're trying to wake up, and then we have to go back to sleep. And we wake up and we try to wake up more, and then we have to go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in dream time or wake time, it's like we're trying to wake up all the time.
Right. I think that meaningful connection happens when we connect with each other, like see each other beyond the mind. So we make an energy connection, or a spirit type connection. And one of the great things about what happens when you're asleep is you're mostly out of mind, right? You are seeing that other person in their more pure form of a kind of spiritual body. And so those connections are happening a lot out there. And when we can bring that into our waking experience, when we see that in that other person, we make that realization that there's an energy connection. That's where I think all the sense of meaning really comes from, because that is the meaningful thing.
Yeah. And just because something isn't rational doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. The entire unconscious mind is irrational when we explore it. And yet it's so important, and in some way makes sense. And maybe we just have to learn how to make sense of things in a different way. And there's this, I think, and I'm going to kind of call it out, but the modern worldview, the Western modern worldview, it sees the dream space as just like reverberations of the brain that are relatively meaningless, that maybe reflect kind of what's going on in the body a bit. And beyond that, there's not much there. And mythology is made up stories by ignorant people, you know. But I think it kind of strips the deepest parts of ourselves, like soul, out of everything, you know, and we're left just as these like biomechanical walking things. And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. And when you start to explore your dreams and wake up to the importance of them and really become conscious in your dream time as a spirit in a body, then you start to change that narrative, and everything that didn't have meaning starts to have meaning. And it's a hard thing to describe, but I think it's an important thing to have in your life. So if you get anything out of this podcast, I hope it's a little nudge in that direction. And maybe you'll see some of us on in the dream time. Hey, everyone listening to Energy Matters, we're all hanging out.
Well, and I think that in order to connect with that and understand it, we need a language for it. And I think meditation is the language of those experiences. That's the place where we can, you know, have similar experiences to what we have in the dream time, or awaken to energy awareness. And through that, you know, present experience and conscious experience of that, we start to then really understand the meaning of it, not in a rational sense, but what it means to you or to I, you know, what it means to us as the person experiencing it.
I love waking up on other planets in my dream time. Oh, we're out of time. So that was a great episode. We are out of time, though. And we'll continue this conversation another time. I think we should have a dream expert of some kind guest on our show, so we can ask them more about it in the future.
Definitely. It would be very interesting to hear, you know, their more information and more tips about, I think, creating a better sleep time.
Yeah, definitely. So, thank you guys. Oh, and so before we go, I'm actually teaching an astral body workshop in Los Angeles sometime in September. I can't remember the date, but check it out if you're around the area. So we'll be working on some of this. Maybe that's why it's coming up as an episode. We just kind of ran with it. Cool. Thank you, Cody, for all that amazing wisdom.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing all of your experiences and insights.
Cody's got to go teach a class right now on the phone, which is his expertise. If you've never taken a phone class with him, we're going to start some. You don't have any for beginners right now, do you, Cody?
No, these are for long time practitioners right now, but we will start having some for beginners very soon.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you only teach advanced students, there won't be any beginners one day. You know what I mean?
I know. But when you've been teaching for over 30 years, you know, the advanced people want you to teach them.
That's right. So if you're an advanced student, find Cody. If you're a beginning student in these arts,
find
we'll
David.
Start a class soon.
Yeah.
Cool. Exciting stuff. Thank you guys all for listening so much. I hope you all sleep well, dream well, live well, be well. As always, Energy Matters is brought to you by, I get to do all the marketing for some reason, Cody's website, intuitivevision.net. You can buy all sorts of trippy classes from him on there. And groundedmind.com, which is my site. Hope to see you all soon. Keep listening. Rate us if you get a chance. Meditate as much as you can. It'll make a huge difference in your life and in the lives of the people around you. They will be less annoyed by you, and they'll probably love you more. So sit still every day if you can. Wish you all the best. See you soon.
See you soon, everybody.
You've been listening to the Energy Matters podcast with Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud.com.